So I'm going to ask that you indulge with me today as I talk about the presence of God. The presence of God. I love this topic and I love the presence of God. How many know that there's nothing like the presence of God? You can't manufacture it. You can't duplicate it. You can't imitate it. Because the presence of God is God Himself. And that's something that you can't conjure up. Right? And we just thank God that He makes Himself known to us fleshly people, fleshly man. Right? He makes Himself known. An eternal God, an all-knowing God, makes Himself known. Not only does He make Himself known, but He provides His presence to be made manifest in our lives. That's an awesome thing. I don't think we realize how awesome that is. I don't think we realize how privileged we are to be in the presence of God. Do you understand that when you are in the presence of God, you are in the presence of eternity? Do you know that when you are in the presence of God, you are in the presence of all power? Anything can happen in the presence of God. Do you understand that when you get in the presence of God, nothing is impossible? All things are possible when you get into the presence of God. Amen. And so we're going to talk today a little bit about the presence of God. I can't exhaust this topic enough. I can't give you everything as it pertains to the presence of God, but I want to give you enough to where you truly appreciate it. Amen? So we want to talk, I want to share with you a few different ways that we can talk about the presence of God and different ways that we can explain the presence of God. Number one, I want to talk about His omnipresence. God's omnipresence. You might have heard this before, but I want to make sure that you understand what that means. What is God's omnipresence? Well, God's omnipresence is the presence of God everywhere at the same time. I'm going to say that again. God's omnipresence is His presence everywhere at the same time. That means that there's no place that you can escape to where God is not there. There's no place that you can run to where God is not present. There's no place that you can escape to where God won't catch up with you. Amen? The omnipresence of God is the presence of God everywhere at the same time. It is the state of being widespread or constantly encountered. What that means is that we're constantly encountered. That means that, again, there's not a place that you can't go where you won't encounter God. There's even a place that, you know, the Bible talks about. He says, if you make your bed in hell, I am there. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah 23 and 24 reads it this way. He says, who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them? Amen. I remember back in the day when I was younger and I got in trouble from my parents, I would go in my room and close the door and hope that they wouldn't be able to read the guilt on my face. Right? And so I had to stay in my room because I knew that if my mama saw my eyes, if she laid her eyes on me, she would know I did something wrong at school. And when I did, and she could see it all over, she'd be like, what you do today? What happened? Something's going on, right? Mama can even tell without you saying a word when something's going on. But how many of you know that I can escape mama? How do you know I can escape daddy? But how do you know that you cannot escape the presence of God?
Amen.
And even though we may give an example of when you do something wrong, I want to talk about when you want to do right. There's always a way of escape. God's always present, even when you find yourself in the lowest part, even when you find yourself in the most awkward situation, even when you find yourself about to do the worst thing, you can stop and know that God is there, and He can provide a way of escape. So God's omnipresence is His presence everywhere at the same time, constantly, where you have a constant encounter. In Jeremiah 23, 24, second half, it says, "Do I not feel heaven and earth?" He says, "Am I not present in the heavens and in the earth?" You can't even take a spaceship out into the orbit, out into space, and God not be there. Amen. Amen. Amen? You can't go to Mars and God not be there. You can go to Pluto and God is there. Amen? Amen. And it's an awesome thing to know that no matter where you go, you can encounter God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it amazing that you don't have to wait till Sunday to encounter God? Isn't it amazing that you don't have to wait till you come to the church house to have an encounter with God? You can go into your prayer closet. You can go into your bathroom. You can go into your kitchen and you can encounter God. Because God is everywhere. His omnipresence. He's everywhere at the same time. Psalms 139 and 8 reads it this way. If I go up into the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Which proves to me that even sinners who fail to give their life to Christ, it says, even if they don't give their life to Christ, it says that even in hell, God is there. His presence is everywhere. That's His omnipresence. But the Bible also talks about His abiding presence. Now you say, Jeremy, what is the difference between God's omnipresence, which another definition of omnipresence is His presence in nature, in the earth and in nature, meaning God is in the, God, and I want to be careful when I say this, but God is in nature, which means His fingerprint, His thumbprint, the signs of His existence are in nature. There's an order, natural order that is in nature that proves that God exists. When the seed goes into the ground and produces a fruit, it explains the existence of God because a random cosmic thing does not create order. Order cannot come out of disorder. And so although scientists say that there was a random cosmic bang, how in the world does a random cosmic bang create order in the earth? You have to have an intelligent being who establishes order and then sets order off in order for there to be some type of order in the earth. So as you see the sun go up and the sun goes down, as you see day and as you see night, as you see winter, spring, fall, and summer, that proves to us that there's an existence, there is an intelligent being who is greater than us all, who sets these things in motion. And so even nature itself proves that God is everywhere, that He exists. But again, there's this thing called His abiding presence. Did you know that before the New Testament, before Jesus came and established what's called a new covenant, in the old covenant, under the old law, in order for us to encounter God's presence, the Old Testament patriarchs, they had to build a what's called the Ark of the Covenant. And this is the place, this ark that God had built, not Noah's Ark, but the Ark of the Covenant, this ark, I'm just going to keep it like that, this ark that God gave them instructions to build, He said, build this and I will dwell in this place. And then He says, yes, you're going to carry this with you until I eventually get a tabernacle. And then until I eventually get a temple. So throughout the Old Testament, God was trying to find a dwelling place. He said, I want to dwell with my people. And then sometimes it'll be in an ark, sometimes it'll be in a tabernacle, something, but eventually I want it to be in a temple. So years go by, and he has David gather, King David, to gather all the materials necessary to build a temple. But he says, David, you cannot build my temple because you are a man of war. He said, but I will allow your son Solomon to build a place that for me to dwell in. So God allows his son Solomon to build this temple. And then God says that the presence of God came down and it filled the temple. And this is the place by which the people of God would go and experience the presence of God. Even before that, it was Mount Sinai, the place that God called his people to come and experience God's presence. But it says that God was no longer pleased with the blood of bulls and goats. He was no longer pleased with sacrifices. He was no longer pleased with dwelling in buildings made with man's hands. And he said, I desire something a little bit better to live in. So we're going to find out what place that God decided to dwell in other than a physical temple. What is God's abiding presence? It is the presence of God dwelling inside of every believer. So God says, no longer do I dwell in buildings made by man's hands, but I have decided in my new covenant to dwell on the inside of man. So God decided to do away with the building and said, I want to live inside of you. He wants to live inside of me. Man, isn't that awesome? Isn't it awesome that God decides to live on the inside of you? 1 Corinthians 3:16 reads it this way. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Paul explains to the Corinthian church, he said, do you not understand that you don't have to go and search for God? He said, do you not understand and know that you yourselves are the temple of God and that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you? He is always present with you. He is with you all the time, everywhere you go. All you have to do is call on him on the inside of you. He said, do you not know that you do not no longer have to go to the temple? You don't no longer have to go to a building. You can be on your couch and call on the presence of God. Why? Because he's on the inside of you. He's made his habitation on the inside of you. John 14 and 26 reads it this way. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said. Jesus tells his disciples and he tells his apostles, he says, I'm going to leave now. I've finished my assignment. I've completed what God has sent me here to do. He said, but I'm going to send you another helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will dwell on the inside of you, and he will remind you of everything that I've said. He will bring to remembrance the things that I have taught you, the things that I have told you. And we also call the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Christ, which is not the same as the Spirit of Jesus the man. It is the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the anointed one. And so the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is the Spirit of the anointed one. And so when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and in you, then you have the Spirit of the anointed one living on the inside of you. Amen? Do y'all understand how powerful that is? Hebrews 13 and 5 says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How does Jesus fulfill that promise? By making you yourself, his dwelling place. When Jesus makes the promise that he'll never leave you nor forsake you, the only way that he can do that is by making you his dwelling place. Making you yourself his habitation. And so as he comes and lives on the inside of you, he is fulfilling the promise that I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Come on, how many of you are happy about that?
Amen. Amen.
Acts 7 and 48 reads it this way. God does not dwell in temples made by man's hands. But 1 Peter 2 and 5 reads, we are living stones being built up into a holy temple. And this kind of feeds into our next area of the presence of God, which is God's manifest presence. What is God's manifest presence? God's manifest presence is his presence made clear in earth. It is his presence that is made known in the earth, noticeable by the human senses. I'm going to say that again. God's manifest presence is his presence made clear. It is his presence made known in the earth. And it is noticeable by the human senses. What do you mean? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19. Come on, y'all learning anything today?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Exodus chapter 19. So there was this guy named Moses who had an occasional encounter with God. He would go up to this mountain called Mount Sinai. And God would allow him to see the back parts of him. God would allow him to see the back parts of him. And it said that even when Moses would go up to this mountain and spend time with God, and he would come down and he would be so on fire. And when I say on fire, I mean he would be so radiant. It says that he had to put a veil over his face because his time spent with God was so, he was so close to God, and he was in such a presence of God that even his skin began to glow. Now this is Bible. This ain't me making this up. It says that Moses spent so much time with God that his skin began to glow. And that he had to put a veil over his face because he was blinding the people. Talk about being in the presence of God. But Exodus 19 says, in the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same came they into the wilderness of Sinai. And I'm going to skip down to, let's see. I'm going to skip down to verse 8. It says, and all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses turned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So God comes to Moses and says, tell the people they have 3 days to get ready to wash their clothes, to make sure that they are pure before me. And he says, because I'm going to come down, and the actual verse says that I will come down in their sight. So we're talking about the manifest presence of God. God says, I'm going to come down in their sight, meaning, he said, they will see me. I'm going to manifest myself before them. And they shall set bounds upon the people and round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up to the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mountain shall be surely put to death. Let's get down to, let's see, verse 17. And it says, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord had descended upon it with fire. So it said that Mount Sinai, the mountain itself, was on fire and smoking because the presence of God had come down upon it. Can you imagine looking at a mountain and the mountain itself is smoking and on fire because God decided to come walk on it? Talk about powerful. And the smoke therefore ascended in the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. So not only was the mountain on fire and smoking, but it said that the mountain itself started to quake or started to tremble. Even the mountain said, I can't handle the presence of God. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by voice. So not only did they see the presence of God, but they heard the voice. And in this particular passage, this particular text, it said that the voice of God sounded like a trumpet, like a loud trumpet. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the mountaintop of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. So Moses had to tell the people, don't get too close to the mountain. And don't look, you know how your mama can tell you, don't look at the sun. Don't stare at the sun because it can blind you. Well, what God was saying to Moses was tell them, go down to the mountain and tell them, don't look directly at me. Because his presence was so powerful, it would be like looking at the sun. And he said, they could perish. That's how powerful the presence of God is. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth unto them. And Moses said unto the people cannot come up to the mountain, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds about the mountain and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto them, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, and thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break forth unto them. So Moses went down unto the people, and the people spake. And there's another passage here I'm looking for, where the people of God, God's people who heard these loud trumpets, and they saw all this smoke, they said that, Moses, will you speak for God and not let God speak? They said, because we can't handle God's voice in his presence. So they asked Moses, will you just be God's representative and just speak for us, because we can't handle all of this. But I wanted to give you a picture, an example of the manifest presence of God. It is the presence of God that is made clear and noticeable to the human senses. Another example of this is the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night, as the children of Israel were being led out of Egyptian slavery into the promised land. It said that as they traveled, God manifested himself as a cloud by day to keep them cool in the day so they wouldn't be burned up in the desert. And that by night, he was a pillar of fire, because in the desert, it actually gets cold and chilly at night. And so he provided heat for them. His actual presence came down and provided heat for them at night. But there's also an account where when God initially calls Moses, where he reveals himself in what's called a burning bush. You've heard this story before as a kid, how God manifests himself in a burning bush. This is an example of the manifest presence of God. We said, Jeremy, I hear all the stuff that happened in the Old Testament, but how does God manifest himself today? How do we have noticeable things that we can say, that's God? What are the things that we can point to and look at and say, that's God? Well, let's go to the New Testament. Before that, it says that Jesus himself is an example and an expression of the manifest presence of God. Jesus said this. He said, if you have seen me, You have seen the Father. So Jesus coming out of heaven and into the earth through the womb of a woman and into the earth as a child to grow up to be a man, he says, here I am in the flesh. He said, if you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. So Jesus himself was an example of the manifest presence of God. But we also see the manifest presence of God on the day of Pentecost. It says that on the day of Pentecost that there were disciples and those who had seen Jesus ascend. It says they were in the upper room on the day of Pentecost, about 120. And it said that there came a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and that it filled the four corners of the room. And it says that there appeared upon them tongues as such as fire, and that they all began to speak in tongues. But the unique thing about them speaking in these tongues is that they begin to speak in different languages that can be interpreted by those who are on the outside that could hear. And the unique thing about this manifestation is that during this time of Pentecost, there were many nations and many cultures and many languages that came into one place. And you got to understand, there were many languages in one place. And as the disciples began to speak in tongues, every nation that was present heard their own language being spoken in this upper room by unlearned men. What the Bible calls unlearned men. Which meant that they supernaturally began to speak another language without even going to school for it. And this was an example of God's manifest presence. He manifested himself in a way to where people could hear him. Even when Jesus showed up on the scene and said that when John the Baptist acknowledged him as the Son of God, it says that a voice from heaven was, it says that the heavens opened and that a voice from heaven came or spoke and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And it even said that the Holy Spirit descended upon him as a dove. So even a dove descending upon Jesus was an expression of God's manifest presence. It was the one place where they say that the Trinity manifested itself together. The voice of the Father, the Holy Spirit descending upon the Son in the form of a dove, and the Son himself, who was the Word of God, was their opportunity to see and hear the Trinity all in one. And so this was an example of God's manifest presence. Another way that we see God's manifest presence is through spiritual gifts. Now, this is where you get to get involved. This is where you get to get involved. Yesterday, as I began to teach, and I was doing the workshop on the prophetic workshop with this church, I explained that when you prophesy, this is an expression of the manifest presence of God. Why? Because as a prophet or a person who is speaking prophetically, you are speaking what God has said. And so you are representing God in the earth by speaking what God has said. Jesus himself said, I only say what I hear the Father say, and the way that he tells me to say it. And so when you prophesy, that is a manifestation of the presence of God. It is one way which God manifests himself in the earth. But did you also know that through the spiritual gift of hospitality, when you show someone love, that's an expression of God's character, and that is a manifestation of his presence. Think about that. When you show someone love by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, you are showing what God looks like and feels like. Even with the gift of administration, let's say you have the gift of administration and you like to put things in order. When you, by the Holy Spirit supernaturally operating the gift of administration or leadership or in healing, no matter what the spiritual gift is, that is the manifest presence of God operating through you. That is not you. That is God's presence being made manifest in the earth through you. And why do I bring up this topic of the presence of God on today? Because I want you to know, again, that there's no place that you can go to where the presence of God is not present. whether it be in the earth, in nature, whether it be on the inside of you and your spirit, your born-again spirit, or whether it be through how you express Him in the way you, how you act, how you interact with others. The presence of God is inescapable. It is inescapable. Have you experienced all of these on today? I can tell you that I've experienced all three of these, His omnipresence. I can go outside and I can look at nature and I can see the fingerprint of God. I can see His existence, the proof of His existence, as I look at the order of the universe. I can feel Him on the inside of me, His abiding presence. When I'm about to do something wrong and I get convicted, the Holy Spirit convicts me. That lets me know that He's still with me. When I want to do wrong but I feel like I got to do right, I know that He's with me. When I'm about to cuss somebody out and He closed my mouth, I know that He's on the inside of me. Because the old me would have went ahead and said what I had to say. But the fact that my mouth was able to close lets me know that He dwells on the inside of me. Because it's not me who shut my mouth, it's the Holy Spirit who said, hold your tongue. And so I know that He will never leave me nor forsake me. And His manifest presence. I have had experiences where I've seen someone be healed. And it was proof that His manifest presence exists still today. You know, we read stories about these miracle signs and wonders that happen. And we wonder why we don't see those types of things today. Well, it's not that no one sees them, it's that you don't see them. But the Bible says, seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Ask and you shall receive. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you even today and say, God, I want to go beyond your omnipresence. God, I want to go beyond your abiding presence. God, I want to see your manifesting presence in my life. And watch God show up and show out. Now, He may not come down to you like some people in the form of an angel or in the form, you know, He might not come down and, you know, you might not see Jesus physically standing in your living room. But there will, I promise you, if you begin to look, if you seek, if you knock, if you ask, God will begin to reveal Himself to you in such a way to where you say, that's God. That's God. That's God. And won't nobody be able to convince you that God is not present. Amen. 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 Let us pray. Father God, we